Our guest at the cafe this morning is A&M Commerce Planetarium Director, Dr. Kent Montgomery. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a while now, a few weeks, but since the solar eclipse, but you went up to Nebraska, and I guess everything went great?
It did. It was fabulous. We saw totality. We ended up in Alliance, Nebraska, in the middle of a park, and we had all kinds of people coming by because we had all our equipment. We were trying to let everybody look through our binoculars and our telescopes, and I took some fabulous pictures. Turned out great, and yeah, I'm still printing them out and getting requests for them.
I saw at least one of them, and it was spectacular. And it was maybe the best one I saw of the entire event.
Yeah, they really turned out good. Better than I expected them to turn out. Everything worked like it should, which you never know. So I had it set up to completely automate so I could just enjoy the eclipse. And it shot 148 pictures in 2 minutes, and I looked at them, and I'm like, wow, this came out as good as I could have done.
Fantastic. Well, I came across a story in the last day or so about Voyager. And I had to kind of prime my memory on Voyager. I know that for you all, it's one of the landmark events, the launch of Voyager and the two Voyagers, Voyager 1 and 2. But Voyager 1 is now reaching a milestone.
Yeah, well, both of them are right on the edge of leaving. Actually, Voyager 1 has left the solar system. It's kind of a loose definition of a solar system, but the sun's magnetic field extends way out about twice the distance to Pluto, and that's where it's passing right now. Mm. And that's how we tell is its magnetic field also shifted from the solar magnetic field to the galactic magnetic field. So it's out of the influence of the sun. So that's what we consider leaving the solar system.
And this has been 40 years.
40 years. 1977 it was launched, yes. Voyager 1 was, and we can still talk to it. And currently, things don't change much, so they don't talk to it very much, but, you know, it's still working.
There's some aspects of Voyager 1 and 2 that are really part of pop culture. And is it Voyager 1 that they put the Chuck Berry record?
Actually, both Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 have the gold record.
Yeah.
That has, yeah, it has classical music. It has Chuck Berry. It has hello in like 150 languages. It has pictures of people and animals. And so if some alien happened to find it, they could decode and figure out what kind of civilization it came from.
And of course, the joke is that some alien culture did find the disc on one of the Voyagers and sent back the message, send more Chuck Berry.
Yes.
But that has become part of pop culture. We're talking with Dr. Kent Montgomery, director of the A&M Commerce Planetarium. Another part was that there was in the first Star Trek movie, that was the whole plot sort of revolved around Voyager. There was this mysterious name that came up, V'ger, and then it turned out that it was
Voyager. Yeah, it was found by some aliens that built a giant ship around it, and then they sent it back towards Earth, and it was, yeah, that was pretty much the plot of Star Trek 1. It's kind of an obscure one. You have to look it up, but it's fun if you're a Star Trek fan.
Yeah. So what have we learned from both Voyagers?
Oh, we learned a lot from Voyagers. In fact, we learned as much as we could up until about the 90s when we got new technology. And still, Voyager 2 is the only one that's flown by Uranus and Neptune close up and taking pictures of them. So, and I don't think there's any a lot of plans to do that anytime in the future. So that was pretty neat. We've also learned a lot about the extent of the magnetic field of the sun and the extent of what the radiation and magnetic fields are like in the outer solar system, which we didn't know before. And yeah, the wealth of data coming not just from the planets, but from the moons of the planets is what spurred us on to send more missions to things like Jupiter and Saturn again. The Cassini mission, which has been up there for a long time, 10 years, is just ending. September 15th, it's going to crash into Saturn. So that was spurred because Voyager, and they saw all this neat stuff, and they're like, oh, let's send another probe.
And they're going to just keep on going, although at some point, presumably, you're going to get so far out and get so weak that we won't be receiving any more information.
Yeah, they're going to just keep going. They're flying away at about 35,000 miles an hour from the solar system. It'll still take them 40,000 years to get anywhere close to another star, and they're not even going the right direction. But yes, they will keep broadcasting as long as we listen for them. But their signal keeps getting weaker and weaker, and it gets harder and harder to pick up that signal.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. What's going on at the planetarium?
Planetarium still shows Friday nights, 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. We got Forces of Nature and Impact, both kind of exciting shows.
What is Forces of Nature?
Forces of Nature talks about earthquakes and crazy things that happen on the Earth and hurricanes and all kinds of things, effects. And then Impact obviously about things hitting the Earth. So there's a lot of destruction in our shows. Well,
that's timely.
Yeah.
And then the other is Impact?
Impact is what it's called, yes.
What's that about?
It's about large asteroids or objects, comets or something hitting the Earth, how we can predict it, what we look for them, what we can do about them.
So they're kind of a pair,
kind of are. They work together.
A matched pair. And that's at 7:30?
7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. An hour long.
On Friday nights. Good. Kent, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us again.
Thank you.
Dr. Kim Montgomery, Director of the A&M Commerce Planetarium. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.